Tonight, the book of Luke. Luke chapter 6. We continue our study. Kind of want to finish from this morning today, you know, to the direction of the message this evening. And we're going to do verses 41 and 42. You won't mind a short message, will you? I didn't want to tack it on this morning's because this morning would have been long. So tonight we're going to, well, maybe we'll keep it short. You know how it goes sometimes. Preachers are, yeah, you know preachers, right? Please stand. All right, Luke chapter 6 and verse 41. We're going to talk about perceiving the planks tonight. Verse 41 says, "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Anthony Hardin, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. All right, this morning we spoke extensively about forgiveness and judging not or not judging and not condemning and giving and forgiving. And so we know what we don't want to be. We know that those things will basically leave us in the ditch, immobilized, not moving forward, not getting out. And so tonight, I trust that we've already gone through the process of getting out of the ditch. If you hadn't, you need to get out of the ditch. Amen? Okay? You need to take the Word of God that we presented this morning in the Scripture and do something about it. And so tonight, we're going to talk about what do we do to keep moving forward. Now, most people, we wouldn't look at this as a moving forward message, but it really is. The first thing we want to do, that we must do in moving forward, is we've got to deal with the planks. Jesus asked the question, "Why look at the speck in your brother's eyes and do not perceive the beam that is in your eye?" Now, the word "perceive" there means to consider or to look. And the idea is, of course, that how quickly we are to notice the faults and the sins and the shortcomings of others without considering our own major shortfalls. As a matter of fact, it's not only easy to find your sin, it's really easy for me to find your little bitty sin. Okay? If there is such a thing. You're small shortcomings, while I just completely ignore or fail to see the big things in my life. Can you see Jesus' picture that he's painting here? I think it's really neat in that he's being actually humorous. Imagine myself with a log in my eye. All right? A plank, a beam, something big, and I'm walking around with this log in my eye, and I'm looking at you and saying, "Oh, you have a speck. Let me help you with that speck." You see the humor there? You're not smiling. Right? Jesus is actually using humor, and even to the point of being ridiculous. But here's the point. If we don't honestly own up to our own sin, if we don't from time to time take a look at ourselves, resolve those things that are immobilizing us and causing me as a person to be ineffective, then I can't be of help to everybody else. Okay? And that goes for all of us. Our point has to be, we've got to care for one another to the point that we want one another to spiritually grow in the Lord. You know, that's one of the big goals of church family. Your goal for me, my goal for you, is that you're walking closer to the Lord tomorrow than you are today. But to do that, I've got to, from time to time, address myself. Do you realize? I always find it really interesting how that people who need help want to help. Have you noticed that? Want to help others? I have actually spoken with drug addicts who have shared with me that they talk to the people that they associate with who have drug problems like they do. They talk to them about Jesus all the time. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a drug addict looking at someone and saying, I know what you need in your life. You need Jesus. I've spoken to parents who will say very quickly, well, I send my children to church every week. I have spoken to church members who talk about the great love that they have for Jesus, and yet you see them once, twice a month at the best. And these are the people that will offer themselves to give you answers. And it's not just those people, but you know it's me. I get up here Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, and I stand before you and I offer to you the Word of God, and I'll look at you and say, hey, we've got to apply the Word of God, and I will share with you how to apply it. But you know, if you continually look at me, and I have this plank of sin before me, I'm not going to be much good to you. And I'm not suggesting that we don't help one another. All right? I'm not suggesting that I see Brother Michael, I see that speck in Brother Michael's life, and I go to Brother Michael and I say, Brother Michael, I want to help you deal with this speck. I'm not suggesting that I do not do that. I'm not suggesting that you don't do that for one another. As a matter of fact, that shows that you care. And the greatest caring that we have is that, as I said before, we encourage one another in our walk with the Lord. But what Jesus is saying here is we've got to examine ourselves from time to time so we can help others. Because the sins in my life, the planks in my life, will keep me from seeing clearly so that I can help the others. Now, what are the planks? Well, how about selfishness? Yeah. It's hard to help others when you're living for yourself. Okay? What about unforgiveness? And we talked about that extensively this morning, so I'll not go through that again. But I can tell you, it's hard for me to preach love when I'm holding a grudge. Worldliness. My focus is this world. How can I encourage your spiritual walk? I said all that to say this. From time to time, we've got to be like the psalmist David in Psalm chapter 129 and verse, or 139, verse 23. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Do you realize preachers, teachers, deacons, parents, moms, dads, we should all from time to time get on our knees and say, Lord, search me, show me the things that hinder so that I can be of help to other people. As I said, it's really easy for me to see your specs and heart, and really easy while I'm focusing on the small things that are in your eye for me to ignore the planks that are in my own eye. You know what I found? One of the most joyful times as a child of God is when I take those times to get on my knees and say, God, show me. God, show me. Show me those things that I need to work on. Show me those things that I need to do better. Show me the things I need to get rid of so I can be a help to others. You got to deal with the planks. Now, I do want you to notice it don't say Don't help your brother. Don't get the speck out of his eye. It doesn't say that. It says deal with the planks. Deal with yourself. Examine yourself. And then you can deal with the specks. Well, you know what the speck is, right? It's like a little bitty splinter. Jesus is talking about a beam versus a little bitty splinter. And He uses the eye because the eye is the most sensitive part of the body, or one of the most sensitive parts of the body. Have you ever had a speck or just a little piece of sawdust? And that's the picture He's painting here. Have you ever had a little piece of sawdust in your eye? Have you noticed how a little bitty piece of sawdust or whatever it is, a piece of grit, can just drive you nuts? You ever noticed that? As a matter of fact, oftentimes, most of the time, I don't need anybody to tell me, you've got something in your eye. It's bugging me so much. It's irritating me so much. It's hindering me so much. You know, my eye's watering, and it doesn't take me long before I want to get that thing out of my eye. But you know what? Have you ever tried to get something out of your own eye? It don't work, does it? It don't work. I mean, you'll rub it and you'll dig at it and you'll scar your eye and you'll irritate your eye. And most of the time, you can't. It takes help. It takes someone with a gentle touch and good vision. Now, if I've got somebody working on my eye, I want them to see clearly. Amen? Don't you? Well, when they're doing spiritual surgery, I want them to see clearly also. I want them to be able to see that thing that's affecting my spiritual life. I can even appreciate those who gently, in love and caring, will work and get that speck out, spiritually speaking. You know, I was reminded as I was thinking about this, about a year or so ago, I got the idea to wear contacts. Now, if you wear glasses, if you've ever tried contacts, and I'm a big baby, but I'm not. Beth might tell you I am, but I'm not. But anyway, I tried, and I had went to see Malia, bless her heart, and I decided I wanted to try contacts, and I got to put them, you know, I put them in, and I really struggled. It's hard to stick your finger in your own eye. It really is. So anyway, Malia, she prescribed the contacts for me, and they showed me how to put them in, and I went home, and a day or so later, I'm trying to put that thing in, and I can't get it in right, and I try to get it out, and I can't get it out, and first thing you know, I lost the contact. The more the day went, the more irritated my eye became, and so I tried to put another one in, and it didn't work. I couldn't get it in there, you know, so I finally, I said, I got to go see Malia. And I got to Malia's office, and she said, come on in and I'll look. And she looked in my eye and she said, I think you've got two contacts in your eye. And actually what I had done was some way I had wadded up that contact and buried it deep in the corner of my eye. And she was seeing that wadded up contact. But I want to tell you something. I told you all that to get here. She gently reached in there. And she took that old wadded up contact out of there. And I felt much better because of her gentle treatment that she provided. That's the picture Jesus is giving here. Is that person who cares enough about another child of God to gently and lovingly approach and say, let me help you with that. Let me give you a hand with that. And that's dedicated enough to stay by them each step of the way as they get rid of that speck, that spiritual speck, out of their spiritual life. You know, when you think about what Jesus gives here, it is a dynamite lesson to what we're supposed to be to one another. You know? It's not about me straightening you out or you straightening them out, or, you know, sometimes we get that hard line and we, preachers most especially, you know, we'll tell people the way it is. There's always got to be a loving gentleness and a desire to help that brother or that sister that you care about. What a lesson here that Jesus gives. Here's the closing. There in verse 42, the danger if we don't deal with the plank that's in front of our eye that keeps us from being a help to our brother or a sister that's got the speck. You know what Jesus calls us? He says, hypocrite. Hypocrite. You know what a hypocrite is? It's someone who pretends to be something that they're not. Jesus says, you're playing a game. If you don't care enough to get the beam out of your eye so that you can approach your brother in love and compassion and caring, you're a hypocrite. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Do you? I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to be that loving pastor. I want to pastor that loving membership who cares enough for one another that when there are specks, that it breaks the hearts of all of us. And that as our hearts are breaking in caring and compassion for that brother, that sister, that when we do go, we say, let me help you. Not let me condemn you. Not let me judge you. Not let me kick you while you're down. But let me lovingly help you get that speck out of your eye. Are you truly concerned? Sometimes we forget, you know. Church is not just about coming on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Church is about loving the brethren and supporting the brethren and helping the brethren grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you truly concerned with the spiritual condition of other people? Do you care about the spiritual condition of other people enough that you're willing to examine yourself and say, wow, I need to get rid of some things in my life. I need a new attitude. I need a new outlook. I need a new mentality. I need a new love. Are you willing to get rid of the beam? And are you willing to be gentle and loving enough that as the brother has the speck, you approach him and you don't say, you big dummy. See, Malia could have said, well, you big dummy. You wadded a contact up in your eyes. She didn't. Bless her heart, she was nice. She probably was thinking it. Because I felt like a big dummy. But you know, that's the way we're supposed to treat one another. That's the desire we're supposed to have for one another. As I said, these messages today, they're not pointed at anything or anyone, but they're a reminder to me of what I'm supposed to be in the Lord Jesus Christ and what I'm supposed to be to you. And I hope they've been a reminder to you of what we're supposed to be to one another. May God be glorified from our attitude and from the love that we have for one another and for the world outside. Tonight you may be here, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to share with you that God loves you. God loves you. No matter how bad you think you are, God still loves you. He loved you so much that He gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die in your place so that you could place your faith and trust in Him and have an eternity in heaven. One of the sweetest words in the Bible was Jesus told His apostles, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Do you have that assurance? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven? If not, why not call upon Jesus tonight? Why not make Him the Lord of your life? Heavenly Father, as we come to this invitation, we thank You. We thank You for the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. And we thank You for the instruction of Your Word. And Lord, we're guilty that oftentimes we look at the faults and the sins of others and we look at them from a condemning and judging mentality. And we lack love and caring. And yes, Lord, we acknowledge sin is wrong. We do not want sin to reign in our lives, and we want to take our stand against sin. But Lord, when our brothers, our sisters are caught up in sin, help us to love one another enough to reach out a helping hand to remove those specks. Help us, Lord, to be diligent about self-examination. Help us to be willing to remove those beams that would block our vision from seeing clearly. Lord, we love You. And we thank You because You first loved us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.